Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, joining us right now on the guest line, he's been covering the NBA for over 20 years. Currently, with SpotTrack, with the Front Office Show, Front Office Show podcast, is our buddy Keith Smith. What's going on, Keith? How are you?
A lot going on, but I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, let's start off with the NBA Finals. As you know, a lot of people thought this series, the beginning, was going to be over. It'll be over already, be over in five games. And here we are, game six tonight in Indy, Thunder and the Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton going to play? What do you think it's going to look like?
Yeah, all indications are that he's going to try to give it a go tonight. We'll see, how that kind of comes together for him. My guess is the Pacers are going to have very close eyes on him, and he'll be on a short leash. If he can't move well enough out there to be a productive player on both ends of the floor, they'll go to other options. I think Indiana trusts that they have enough guys that they can still compete in this game and enforce a game seven, even if Tyrese Halliburton can't be himself. I think the only way Halliburton wasn't going to play is if there was any thought of, hey, there's real long-term damage that can be done here by playing. And then we saw him go through that a little bit last year, where he had the hamstring injury that lingered into the start of this season, and it took him a while to kind of get over it. So I think we're going to see, though, that they're probably pretty confident he's going to try, and it's game six of the finals. You got to go out there and leave it all on the floor.
Well, what's your pulse and vibe on this whole situation, Keith, with Halliburton? But you just mentioned it, and I think we all, thought it when we saw them do what they did when he was hobbled last game. Like, they made that a two-point game in the fourth quarter when Halliburton just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, scored only 4 points. Do you believe that the Pacers have enough in their arsenal? Whether he plays or not, imagine it would be somewhat of a limited capacity. Do you think the Pacers can force a game seven?
I do. I think the Pacers have been really good when they've been kind of counted out throughout the course of these playoffs. There were some people even in the first round who were like, yeah, they're going to get pushed by Milwaukee, even though that's, they should win. And then, I think most picked them to lose to the Cavs. Most picked them to lose to the Knicks. And here we are, they're in the finals. And I think they have these games every once in a while. They go out there and they hit a million three-pointers. And the Thunder have these games where they can't make a jumper to save their lives. And if we get a game like that, all of a sudden Halliburton plays well, doesn't play well. We're looking at a game seven, and I think there's a chance that's how this plays out. But, yeah, I think – Indiana's just been so tough, and they should have, by this point, kind of earned everybody's credit. I will say, though, when a team is close, things kind of amp up a little bit for that team, and they can taste it, and the title's there, and it's, I'm going to get on the floor and get this loose ball and those kind of things. And this Thunder team, they look like they know they're right on the verge of winning one.
Keith, SGA is getting the most phantom calls of anyone in basketball history, on the mark or overblown?
Yeah, way overblown. I mean, I'm not playing to the home crowd here, but we all saw what it looked like when James Harden played in Houston, right? Like, I mean, the best scorer in the league gets foul calls. It's been that way my entire life. I grew up that way with Michael Jordan. After him, it was Allen Iverson. After him, it was Kobe Bryant. After him, it was James Harden, Kevin Durant. Those guys would get a ton of calls that, a lot of other guys didn't get. Now we're with SGA. He's the best on-ball scorer we have in the NBA right now. So, yeah, he's going to pick up some foul calls. Are some of them, questionable? Sure. But are a lot of them fouls? Yeah, they are, because part of being a great scorer is knowing how to draw fouls. And the minute he feels that contact gets even the slightest advantage, knows the guy's got a hand where it shouldn't be, he's going to go right through that guy and force the referees to make a call. He's just a really smart player.
Keith Smith, our guest on Sports Radio 610, SpotTrack contributor, host of the Front Office Show on YouTube, has been covering the NBA for a long time, talking about great scorers. Kevin Durant, certainly still one of those, even at the age of 37. one of the most talked about players in this city, at the very least. And he's not even a Houston Rocket yet. Will he be, in your opinion? Does this thing, wherever he winds up for the Phoenix Suns, go down to the wire?
It depends on what we're kind of considering to be down to the wire, but I think there's a chance we see this go to the point where this gets done ahead of the draft. I think the Suns have, I'm not going to say that's a hard and fast, like if we can't get it done by draft night, that's it, we're not trading him, because I think they continue to explore it. The Suns want to add draft capital, whether that's to use picks in this draft or to go out and get use those in a trade themselves to go get somebody else. They want to be able to do that. Now, the Rockets' interest, I've been told it's real, but Houston has said, hey, we're not giving up everything. We're not giving all of our kids and all this draft capital. It's going to be, you know, maybe one of the kids, you know, another one possibly, you know, some salary matching pieces have to go out because you got to get to, you know, matching Durant's salary. And then, yeah, we've got some extra draft picks we can throw into this thing. But they've been pretty firm that, you know, hey, we're not giving up the whole farm here for Kevin Durant because he's 37, he has injury issues, and he's only under contract for one more year.
Yeah, you know, Keith, with the whole thing like you just mentioned with Durant being 37, he's got 1 year on his deal. The Suns are over $100 million over the cap. The Rockets, according to DraftKings Sportsbook, they are the new betting favorite to land Kevin Durant. And there have been so many changes in the reporting around Kevin Durant of, oh, it looks like he's going to be a Timberwolf, to, oh, it looks like he's going to the Heat. Oh, wait, the Spurs are back in. Oh, wait, the Rockets. Oh, wait, the Raptors. Where is everything in reality?
Yeah, I'm not saying this in any kind of mean or critical way, but it's lying season, right? Everybody's fibbing about everything out there right now. You know, players are fibbing about who has interest to try to drum up markets. Teams are saying it to try to get, you know, more people involved. Other teams are saying they're not interested because they don't want to give up a lot. It's just kind of this time of year. But one thing I can trust in, because it's been told to me, it's been heavily reported, is that Durant wants either the Spurs or the Rockets or the Heat. Kind of seems like it's in that order, but the Spurs work pretty much in silence. You don't get anything out of San Antonio until it's a done deal. They don't negotiate through the media. They don't play a lot of back and forth of we offered this, they want this. They just kind of go about doing their business. So I don't know that we're going to hear too much about them. There's also a sense that they may be kind of looking at it and saying, yeah, we're a little further off than maybe the Rockets or the Heat are. So they want to go big for Kevin Durant, go get him. So I do think, you know, these teams are involved. I know Minnesota would love to have him. Does sound like he's poured cold water on that a little bit, as far as I don't really want to be in Minnesota. And the one thing you do not want to do is trade for an unhappy Kevin Durant, because it's just not going to end well for you.
Keith, as you know, an observer from the outside looking in, somebody that's covered the NBA for as long as you have, forget about Kevin Durant right now. Rockets just signed Ime Udoka to a long-term extension today. He's made him one of the highest-paid coaches in the NBA. There's been a 30-win improvement in what he's done with his leadership for them the last couple of years. No Kevin Durant. How does this team get better? How does this team set itself up to be in the Pacers and in the Oklahoma City Thunder's situation, as both of those teams are in the finals? How do the Houston Rockets get better this offseason to be legitimate contenders going forward?
Yeah, I think they got to get more offense. We saw that in the playoffs. You know, I'm a big fan of saying the playoffs reveals all. Whatever you're really good at, people are going to see it. Whatever you're not so good at, teams are going to expose it, and they're going to take advantage of it. And we saw the Rockets, they defended their tails off. They play really, really hard all the time. Those are going to be a kind of a key attribute of any Ime Udoka coach team, because if you don't play really hard and you don't play defense, you're just not going to play. So they're at a spot where for Houston, it's going to be, all right, how can we score more? That's where it all fell apart for them against a Warriors team that was good, but also, you know, limited and, you know, should have been pretty beatable. So whether it's Kevin Durant or that's go get somebody else that can come in and put some points on the board and make life a little bit easier for guys like Şengün and Thompson. And then, you know, if Jalen Green's still around or Jabari Smith is still around, you know, just make it a little easier for those guys to work and do the things they need to do, so much the better. You know, some of that will come internally. I think Reed Shepard's a guy who needs to get more run. We saw Ime Udoka didn't really trust young players all that much when he was the head coach of the Celtics. It took him a little while for guys to get you know, into his spot where he felt like he could play them. So I think Shepard maybe next year will help with the offensive production. But yeah, they've got to put more points on the board, and you got to find that. It's not a great free agent class to go get that done, so it's going to probably have to come through trade, and that's why you're hearing them linked to a guy like Durant.
Hey, Keith, got about 2 minutes left here. I want to ask you, though, you covered the Celtics for a very long time, and the Celtics are a team that, you know, they're $100+ million over the cap, and they've been, you know, reports about them looking to move salary, and, you know, guys like Holiday and Porzingis' names being mentioned. But Porzingis has this weird ailment that nobody seems to know what's going on with him, and he can't breathe. And then there's reports, well, you know, what would it take to get Derek White? Would they give up Jaylen Brown? What's really going on with the Celtics? Would they actually consider trading Jaylen Brown?
If for Brown or White, it would have to be like a monumental offer, which includes good young, and by young, you can read cost-effective players on team-friendly deals, and multiple draft picks. Like, they're going to need, for either one of those guys, probably a similar package to what Desmond Bane just went for, if not more. I mean, with Jaylen Brown, you're talking about a guy who's been an All-NBA guy. He's been an All-Star. He was the Finals MVP. And the Celtics are not just going to move him just to move him. And they love Derek White, and they love the contract Derek White is on. Those two guys, I would say, I'm not going to say they're completely off the board, but you better come with a very serious, very large offer. Now, for Holiday, Porzingis, Sam Hauser, those guys are movable. We're going to see, you know, what it looks like, you know, with their trade markets. But Boston's been insistent they're not giving up draft capital to get off those guys. They're not going to pay a team to eat those contracts. So that's going to make for, you know, a pretty interesting next couple of weeks for them as free agency gets opening up.
Good stuff. That's Keith Smith, contributor to SpotTrack, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Keith, really appreciate you coming on, being gracious with your time. We'll look forward to talking with you down the road post whatever the hell happens with Kevin Durant.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Keith.
Thanks, man. Good stuff from him. He's sharp. Enjoyed that. All right, we're going to roll into the 5 o'clock hour.
So let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I just sent T-Mill a video involving Jalen Green.
Okay.
That obviously I couldn't listen to it because we were doing the interview.
Hold on. How old is the video?
Very recent.
Okay.
And I sent it to T-Mill so that he could check it out and tell us, is this something we need to talk about? Is this indicative of something with Jalen Green where maybe we say, you know what? Trade this dude.
Well, that's going to be interesting. So are we going to hear it?
I don't know. We're going to find out if T-Mill says it's a yay or a nay.
Whether or not we hear it,